Right. This is all about enhancing food security and about a project that I've been working on through California State University up in Chico, northern part of the state. The concern for and impetus for this project really came out of the alarming rate of farmland loss in California, which of course is related to all kinds of loss of ecological services and associated also with quality of life issues. Like so much of the country, California is losing huge amounts of farmland to urbanization, and about estimated a square mile about every 4 or 5 days. There's Butte County, where we're situated, doesn't rank so well either in terms of health issues. It tends to have a lower median income than the average for the state. Proportion of people living in food deserts is 15%. Also, a lot of fast food restaurants, and tends to be a lot of habitual tobacco drinking and drug use. So this project, it's been going on now for about 4 years, has been a result of two successive specialty crop block grants through the USDA, and it's a joint effort through the College of Agriculture, Department of Nutrition, and a local nonprofit called Grub Education. Our goal really is to promote food security with the associated concern about health outcomes and supporting our local food system. And really, motivation for this has come from Tom Lyson's idea about a civic agriculture, where it's not just commodity production, that people engage with local producers for the welfare and support of really having a stronger community. It's a holistic approach with this project, where we're trying to provide a comprehensive education program. And so we're trying to facilitate entry into gardening and farming practices, support access to local produce, and support empowerment of people to use that local produce. So we provide grants to new farmers to get to the farm markets and sell things. We've put in and supported a lot of community gardens. We put on lots of workshops. We've helped facilitate EBT use at the farm markets and provided grants to some of the smaller specialty crop markets. And, of course, we put on a lot of cooking, preserving, and nutrition workshops. So a few pictures of our garden activities, establishing gardens, and harvesting. And the gardens, we put in or supported about 25 community gardens around the community. And they're, as you can see, they're pretty widely scattered. This is our edible petal project. It's a mobile kitchen complete with stove, wash basin, cutting board. It's approved by the county, and it's fabulous. It goes all over the place, participating in community events, putting on nutrition and food demonstrations. And people see how to cook things like, parsnips and how to use radicchio and other things. And then they get to taste it. So it's been a huge part of the project and really been fun. Here it is at the Chico Saturday Market. Another part of the project has been the student-run organic vegetable project at the Chico State Farm. And this project has really helped turn the student efforts into more of a community asset, getting local people to participate, volunteer, and come out for workshops. The university farm is actually 800 acres, but we're on 3 acres of it that we share with the Well, on a 10-acre parcel that we share with the Chico State Organic Dairy. Cover crops workshop we put on, seed starting. It's been great. Anyway, assessment. We started by doing a general assessment of the community to find out about purchasing, gardening practices, and then we've had a longitudinal study that's followed up with people who have been involved with the project. I want to point out that when we ask people, why don't they eat more specialty crops, more fruits and vegetables? Number one reason was no time to prepare them. And I'll come back to that a little bit later. What would get you to buy more fruits and vegetables from local farmers? Top two reasons, convenience of farmers markets that are closer to my home. And again, if I knew how to cook them. What would encourage you to grow your own food? More time, opportunity to garden with others, which is the top reason, and then opportunities to learn how. Okay, so some of those things we've tried to address in this project. We can't give people more time, but in empowering people with knowing how to do things, that can help facilitate. And in fact, results from the longitudinal study indicate that 93% of people who have participated at all in the activities of the project are preparing and preserving more local produce. 57% actually said they increased the proportion of fruits and vegetables in their diet, and 52% buy more local produce. In terms of production, 59% report growing more food. And you can see that as they attend more events, you'd expect, if they attend one event, 35% said they tried or grew more produce. If they attended four or more, it got up to be 73%. They've invested more. 10% of those participating actually said they started selling some produce or enhancing their sales. So it's had a positive effect on more purchasing from local growers, increased proportion in diet, and more production and sale of local produce. However, as I said before, we're still not sure if we're capturing very many of those people who say they just don't have time to prepare things. And for them, we think there's a huge opportunity for more value-added produce. Things like, well, we just got a solar dehydrator at the Chico State Farm, so we're going to dry tomatoes. We want to start grinding up things and maybe turning them into soup powders, things like that. And I noticed when I go to Thailand, I see in the farm markets a lot more prepared foods, a lot of hot food, you know, rice and curries that you can buy and take home. I think there's a lot of potential for that. Adaptive management, we're increasingly trying to work more with local community, local organizations and agencies to make sure that our efforts have some sustainability, longevity. We're also tending to do less advertising and doing more on-site events at captive audiences at various underserved living areas around Chico. And because we think we're able to get to people who aren't responding to advertising. I think that's helped a lot. As I mentioned, support for this has come from USDA Specialty Crop Grant through California Department of Food and Agriculture, also a California State Ag Institute Research Institute grant that helps us with our variety trials. And I want to thank my co-author, Julie Estep, and all the other people who work with me on this project, as well as all the students who work out at the project.
So great. We have time for a few questions. Thank you, Lee.
Yes.
So I have been thinking a lot about how to improve education on how to use produce. And your pedal, your cart there is a fantastic idea. Have you considered going into grocery stores and doing demonstrations there where the produce is right there, and you might be able to address a larger captive audience with that?
Maybe out in front of the grocery store?
Or with your pedal thing, but also arrange with a grocery store to do an in-store demonstration.
You know, we haven't done that, but that's a great idea. That's the sort of thing we've done at the farmer's market, where we've often gone and set up by a farm stand and featured a different farm and used his or her produce that week and had a local chef put on the demonstration. But yeah, especially the grocery stores that feature more local produce, that would be great. That's a great idea.
Oh, interesting. The local ones, the co-ops, yes, it's chain grocery stores, no.
Oh, yeah.
Interesting. Okay. Because if they're already shopping at a co-op, then they don't really need that education necessarily. But the ones shopping at the chain stores.
Yeah. In California, anyway, they do not know
that. Is that right? Oh, okay. I was going to say, I'll take that back to my group. Carol. Yes. There's people in the group who actually are involved with particular school gardens, and there has been an effort to include them, but it's difficult. In fact, we think another grant is going to address more particularly teachers and school gardens, because a lot of the school gardens aren't connected very well with school programming. They're more of an after-school program, but that's a huge audience. And through school, in fact, what we have tried to do, and we have some events coming up, where we're trying to capture the parents of children and maybe have a joint dinner where the children get involved in preparing it and invite their parents. But yeah, that's huge potential. Yes. They are. I should mention that our first 3 years of the project, we were able to have a lot of EBT incentive programs where we gave out tokens, and it seemed to work really well. From the surveys, there seemed to be continuing use from people who took advantage of that. They won't let us. The specialty crop grant currently doesn't include that opportunity for EBT enhancement, but it seemed to be effective, and now all the markets around Chico are EBT enabled.
And what is EBT?
It's the electronic version of food stamps.
Oh.
Yes.
You mentioned that a percentage of people or attendees started growing their own food.
Yeah.
Well,
as I mentioned, that we've helped establish a lot of community gardens around the area. And a lot of them are just in low-income housing area. And so people have their own, in some places, have their own garden plot. In other situations, they share the effort and have a community garden. But, but then a lot of people are just doing it on their own. As you may have noticed in the survey, less people indicated lack of land available than just time and knowledge about how to do it.
Thank you, Lee. Let's give him a round of applause.